Okay, here we go. Okay, so this is Shabbos of Parshas Matos Masei. We finish up the Sefer by Midbar. And the first of the two Sefer Matos, this is the catch-up week. We catch up there, so finally. They read Matos last week, and they're reading Masei this week. We finally catch up. We haven't been together with them since the Pesach. Anyway, so the Parsha begins right after the opening section, which is about Nadarim, with a commandment to Bnei Yisrael to go and to fight, to wage war against the people of Midian. And the Torah describes what took place, and the Bnei Yisrael were victorious. And the Torah describes they took a lot of shalom, they took a lot of booty, a lot of spoils, war, a lot of animals. In fact, it's a whole lengthy description in the Chumash, exactly how many animals, this type of animal, that type of animal, a lot of attention is devoted to that. But obviously they also took other useful items, including utensils. Utensils like furniture, but also cooking utensils. So the Torah describes in the first source, Derek Lamed Aleph Midrash, starting in Pasuk Kafalet, wherever Elazar Cohen of Anchester, Elazar Aaron is already dead. Elazar Cohen is now the chief Cohen, and he says to the soldiers coming back from the war, wherever Elazar Cohen, Elanchester, Soma, Bun, and Chon, those who cast the Torah, and people shall respond. So here are the laws, Torah, Chokum, Torah, Pasuk Chavez, Achet, Azov, as a Kesef, as a Nechoshes, as a Barzel, as a Bedil, and so forth. Six types of metals are mentioned here: gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead. And you have utensils made out of these items. The problem is that the non-Jews, the Midianites, when they took these items, they used them for cooking their own non-kosher food and so on. So the Torah said, now the Jews want to use them. Some of them, I guess, are valuable. Fancy silverware, whatever else. So it says, Kol davar asher yavo ve'esh. Kol davar asher yavo ve'esh. Something which is put through fire, I'll explain in a second, should again be put through fire. The Tahir, that can purify it. We'll explain that too. That which does not go through fire is put in water. What is that? So higher. So Rashi named Chazal, the second source, fills in the blank. Rashi is in Pasuk Chofes, Achaz Hazab, says, beside the issue here of Tumah, Odeish Lahazah, says Rashi, Odeish Lahazah, this was Peel. What we call kashering, or hagolas kalim, removing, purging a forbidden flavor. Hefsher kalim, hagolas kalim. The ach, loshon miyut. The word ach is always an exclusive or limiting word. Because it says, mu'atin klomar mimu'atin atem lishtamish b'kalim afu achas harosim tumas ameis. Aside from the problem of tumas ameis, if somebody's kalim may become tame during the course of the war, whatever, aside from that problem, there's also a kashrus problem. Actually, it's Eastern Nevelis. Nevela is a catch-all word. Literally, Nevela means an animal, meat from an animal, which dies through any means other than through a kosher shita. But in general, Nevela means non-kosher. Right? So the Torah is telling us, aside from the Tum and Tara problem, you also have a problem that these kalim, these vessels were used, these utensils were used for non-kosher food. So what are you supposed to do to get rid of that problem? So next, Rashi, Kol Dovar Sheyovo Ve'esh, Levasho Bo Klum. Something which is used directly over the fire. If it's a type of utensil, it's used directly on a fire. Okay? So then, tavir ba'esh, then you've got a quote-unquote kasher, it purges the flavor, through hagola, or through, not hagola, we'll see, through fire. In other words, if it became, quote-unquote, flake through fire, something that's used directly on a fire without the medium of water. Let's say you have a grill, or an oven grate or something like that, where the food is exposed directly to the fire. There's no water. It's not cooked by water. It's cooked by fire. The only way to kasher it is through fire. That's Rashi. It's the very kederech kashmisho hagoloso. The way you use it, that's how you purge it. That's how you kasher it. Ma tashmisho
the
chanamir.
The usage on the outside is different from the inside. The grate, I understand, because it's consumed.
Yeah.
But a pot, you can make an argument on both sides of the equation. You can say a pot, the only heating on the outside, or you can say when you're heating on the outside, the inside, it's really...
No, but how does... Right, the idea there is when a pot is used with water, so the flavor of the lactose food comes into the pot. The water. It's on the fire, right, but the food is into the food. Is not directly, or just lying on a pot. The food becomes hot through the water. Right, if you cook up the meat or whatever, so, or vegetables, you put them in or the meat for soup, chicken soup, you put it in the water, which is in the pot, so the flavor comes out through the medium of the water.
But
yeah, with the fire too, yeah, of course, the fire plays a role.
Most on the outside of the pot.
Right, but the food.
No, but
the
fully consumed by the fire.
Yeah.
Most cooking
Yeah.
It says a dumb water, but enough of a minority of the cooking is done with the food directly on the pot without the water.
Okay, so it may depend on the pot then, actually.
Even most cooking today, people sear the food before they put it in. They fry the onions first, then they put the
water
in.
Okay, pans might be different.
No,
even a pot, yeah. I don't know. Okay, could be different. I'm not sure. Okay, but the distinction that the Chazal make here is when you use the fire directly, the food is directly over the fire. Let's say a barbecue grill, that kind of thing. So that's the fire heats the food and it just lies on the metal, right, as opposed to being heated through water. That's the chiluk that the Rashi is quoting.
So put the food's in the pot.
Yeah.
And it's cooked on the inside, the fire's on the outside. Is that like cooking on the fire itself?
I don't think so. As long as there's a medium of water. That's the language.
No medium, you're frying.
Well, you have no water. If there's no water, then it's like directly the pot.
But it is.
Even though it's, I don't think that. So,
I'm sorry.
No, let's say, I'll give you an example. Let's say a cookie pan, what do you call it, cookie tin, the sauce is resting on top, but there's no water, that's considered direct on the fire, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you're thinking about a grill because the grill has the grates, I'm sorry, I missed the question. Yeah, let's say cookie tin or baking tin or something like that where the food is at, that'll be correctly considered direct on the fire, okay? Anyway, so Rashi's key line is, Derek Tashmish HaGol, so Mash Tashmish HaGol, that's a clear, the spud is like a spit, like you put the meat, a rotisserie thing, you put the meat is on the thing that spins around, or a shawarma kind of thing that's directly on some kind of a thing that holds it, so that's directly over the fire. It sounds like a grill, or a grate. Then the only way to kosher it is directly through fire. You've got to put fire to the item. We'll see. The next, it says, Achmeli de Ischato. So this means something else. This has to do with Trilas Kelim. You have to clarify right now. There's a difference between Hagolas Kalim and Trilas Kalim. And many people mix up the din. I've gotten phone calls that somebody said that they traced something up in the kitchen. Well, so they have to take it to the mixer. No. The two is totally unrelated. I don't say unrelated, but two. They both went here. They're two different dinim. There's a din when you buy utensils, whether new or used, from a non-Jew. Brand new, never used before, you have to tie it to the mixer. You bring it to the mixer. They're a married couple. Get to the pots and pans. You buy before you have to. The stuff, you have to take it to the mixer. That's what had nothing to do with what flavor may be. I scrape it up. Pasul had nothing to do with the mikvah. That's this possible. It requires tefila, a certain type, clean matzah or metal. But in the last couple of rashis, b'cholah shel loyal ba'eshi, it's not done. Can call dover she'ein tashmisho yideh or can go kosos, cups, fuchios, so on and so forth. And that's different. So then, tabur remind me, you just have to wash. In other words, certain things that should not even use, there it comes hot. You never use the rest of anything. Then certain things just have to be clean. So I want to go over a general overview, a major subject. So trying to get some general information here. So the Shulchan Aruch says, it comes up in your day, of course, as you'll see, but it's also an Aruch Chaim, Ilchus Pesach, because the people Kasher came with Pesach. This Shul I know has used every Shul, a few nights before Pesach. They're a big thing to Kasher came, right? So Aruch Chaim seems tough, non Aleph, Simches. Shulchan Aruch says, Echot Kli 8, even though the Torah only mentioned these six types of metals, but it's true also Kli Kele made out of wood, which I guess for obvious reasons is generally not used directly over the fire. Okay, Echad Kli Eitz, Echad Kli Evin, certain types of stoneware, Echad Kli Mateches, metal, Dinam Lakshir B'Hagola. They can be captured through Hagola. Hagola means to boil in water. Ramah adds the Chain Kli Etzim to them, also boneware, yeah. You technically can, yes. Yeah. Okay, now. However, you can capture this Kli Cheres, earthenware, that's the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Lamer, Beis, Source 4. Can't get rid of it at all. Now, there's major discussion, including some very recent discussion. I just read an article, that's why I started thinking about the subject, last week from Shoda to me. I had the Sefer on Tchumen, which is a publication that's put out every year by the Tzomet Institute in Alon Shut near the Yeshiva Har Etzion. So they do a lot of stuff about modern technology and halacha, the elevators, all the electronics is there. A lot of interesting articles. I had an article, I hadn't seen it. I had it at home, it was printed last year. But my brother-in-law pointed out to me that there was an essay about, in general, there's a question, what if it's a type of metal that's not mentioned in that plastic? Remember, the plastic mentioned gold, silver, copper, iron, tin, and lead. So this is what about aluminum? They have aluminum. We learned about all these metals. I remember in the seventh grade, you had the periodic table of the elements, hanging in the classroom. So you see all these different types of metals. They didn't know about them. So we assume aluminum is also a kind of metal and so on. But what these people did the following, a couple of Rabbanim,
right? This is the Rabbanim.
So we assume that the even the rice, you know, that question, glass is also a different story. We don't usually kasher glass among Ashkenazim, except for Pesach, is a different way to do it. So a lot of details I'm not going to go into, but I just want to mention what's included. So this article had an interesting discussion. These Rabbanim are also scientists. They put the flavor into the different types of things. They put what they call, I guess, a radioactive isotope or whatever, something to trace the thing, and they wanted to see how much blia there is. There's a way to measure it scientifically. And they found out that Taka Kli Cheres, which is earthenware, is volea. They printed all the results. It does absorb far, far stronger, far more, far greater rate than metals, and glass is even less. Everything works out very well, except found that stainless steel, and I guess that's why it's called stainless steel, absorbs very, very little. So they asked, they printed this whole article, and they wanted to show that perhaps we should be makeled by stainless steel, you know, because it's not absorbed as much. They had the scientific evidence that showed it. And we usually treat stainless steel like any other metal, but stainless steel, I guess because of the way it's treated, you know, doesn't absorb this the same way. So at the end, they sent this to a number of rabbanim, and you might expect a different approaches. Rosh Weiss, Shalita was one of the people who wrote, he said, you know, it's very interesting, but you know, the halacha is halacha. We don't change halacha. No surprise. I'll tell you an interesting thing. My brother will show me.
He wants to cooler with him by every other thing because he has.
Yeah, no, it doesn't change. I know. No, fine. That's the whole question. The whole question of scientific evidence. You know, so it's interesting. My brother-in-law is probably one of the people who manufactured the talus, and so he sees everything through the lens of talus. You know, he said kind of the rabbanu printed kind of split those that wore talus. Well, favorably disposed towards wearing talus felt that you could rely on this, at least as a snip optimist. And those who refused to know, they didn't want the scientific evidence here either. So it kind of fell along those lines. But anyway, they pointed out there's a true in the Radvaz I printed in source number 5, Chela Gimelson and Tuff Aleph, overall from Tuff Tuff Mem Dalit. I'll say it outside the saving minutes. He was asked, Kli Hatsini, China. It was porcelain. He was apparently that was new to the where he lived, and I think in Egypt, you know, in the 1500s. And he was asked, what about China? And he saw. People came, Ra'isa Ksas Mishkele Amenu Ochle Behem Pasa Ugrina. People were using it for meat and cheese, and chametz and pesach, you know, and everything else. Because they assume, yeah, correct, but they were still using it. Can you like glass, I guess? And so that was a question. So he did a test now, several hundred years ago. So it wasn't as authoritative or as extensive as the test you can do today. I don't know. He had certainly said he burned it well, and then he weighed it, and then they printed right here in the chuvah. And he concluded that it's like Kli Cheres, and that's the extent of the halacha. Now, the question is, well, this mentioned to you as an aside, that Techemet, you know, wonders whether you should, Techemet, you know, is not so convinced, let's put it that way, that you should rely on these kinds of tests for halacha. But the point of this article is Rabban quoted the Rabban. The Rabban did a test. So we can also do a test, you know, that's what they said. On other things, right. Yeah, my tailor's back at the test also. Yeah, as the Gemara has. Yeah. But anyway, the Sechemed, for those who want to look it up, the Sechemed is found in Sefer Dina Marechas Hey Os Chaf Aleph. Anyway, I also saw that in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo from Shlomo Zalman Arbach, so in Hilchos Hagolas Kelim for Pesach, this is in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo on Pesach, on Boadim, Volume Aleph, on page Nun Hey. He has, in the footnote, he says, we don't really have the knowledge of what it means to be absorbed, that the expelled flavors and so on and so forth, and therefore he's not so excited about changing, you know, poskim and so on. And he says the makom hesed meruba yishalachachem. Ask a shadow to the hesed meruba. Somebody told me, I don't know if it's right, maybe the story for you. Somebody told me that Aaron Lichtenstein went to Shlomo Zalman, you know, discussed this type. Not as a result of this study because it was just a year ago. Solzhenitsyn wasn't around anymore, but years ago, he said there's certain evidence about metals and so on and so forth, and so supposedly, Solzhenitsyn said that when the Sanhedrin is reconstituted, you and I will present our case together. But in the meanwhile, that was the implication. Anyway.
And the implication was because
some
folklore people have...
Yeah, but or if you had a shower in the kitchen or whatever, you know, would you have to catch it and so on? Yeah, I think so. Anyway. But let's get back. That's all interesting background. But I would like to get back to the main issue at hand. The question.
Could you explain how Hesed Meruba has...
Another time. That's okay. The big stuff. Why should that make a difference? That should make a difference, yeah. Okay. Ramos, the number of critical points you have to understand in order to get a grasp on this whole thing, we all know about Kashrut and Kelim, many of us do it before. Faith says, I'm trying to understand how it works, why does it work, and so on. So first of all, we have to have an important understanding of a concept called tamkid. Because we can ask a very simple question. What was the problem with these kalim? I got the kalim from these non-Jews. Okay, we defeated them in battle. We got them. So clean it off, and that's it. What I'll make sure there's no pork or clam chowder or whatever is left in the kalim. I use it. Well, what's the issue? There's no food there, so why can't I cook it? Right, what's the problem? You're telling me there's some flavor absorbed in the walls of the pot? No way. I'm not eating non-kosher. The Torah says I'm not allowed to eat these types of fish or birds, whatever it may be. So I didn't. What's the problem? I mean, why should it be a problem to begin with? What do we eat the kosher kalim for? That's what's all about. So there's a pasuk in Parshas Noso, Bamidbar Parak Pasuk Gimel Sula 6, talking about a nazir, and it says a nazir, as you know, is not allowed to drink wine. Miyayin v'shechar yazir chol mitzayim v'chol mitzayim v'chol mitzayim v'chol mishras anavim. What's mishras anavim? Grapes that are soaked in water, soaked grapes. Not allowed to eat that either. So the Gemara says in Pesachim daf mem dalo and alav kolod mem dalo and reis l'tevim. Haim v'alek is find a mishras litain tam kikur. There we learn that if it just has the flavor, the water took the grapes out, it didn't become one. But it has a little bit of the flavor of the grapes, that's enough to asser the nozer from drinking it. What do you mean? He's not eating grapes, not eating it. The answer is the flavor is enough. Tam kikur. The flavor is considered like the item itself. That's the halacha. Shin shor anavim mayim v'yesh b'hem tam yayin. And if it's soaked and it has the water, this has the flavor. Chayav. Mikad asadon. Here we learn that that's a din called Tarkula. I printed the Rashi next page. What does it mean, Tom Kika? It says Rashi, Litim Tom Kika. It says Rashi, Mem Dabo Beis, Lasos Tamosho Isur, Kikara Umamosho. The flavor of a forbidden thing is like the item itself. The flavor is like the item itself. That's the din. So therefore, you have in the water the flavor of the wine. So then they're not allowed to drink, and that's the din of called Tarkula. Now, the Gemara, so that's one source. So the answer is, there's a halacha called tam kikur, and therefore, if I get these kalim from a non-Jew, and they trace the pot was used to cook clam chowder, and now I'm cooking my chicken soup for Shabbos, and the clam chowder flavor comes out. We know what a pot our metal up is porous. When you heat up the pot, so it becomes hot. The metal expands, and you don't feel it on naked eye, but you know, and stuff comes out, right? And you can actually sometimes taste it in the water. Or let's say you have a pot, you keep a beautiful kitchen, huh?
Where's the leaf? From Tom
Seeker,
and I have this pot
that's
clean.
Right.
You clean it out
right.
With detergent.
Mm-hmm.
You boil water, you're not going to taste anything but water. We all know that.
Right, right. But although
from Tom Seeker to pots that it has to be kosher.
Okay, so slow one second. But conceptually, the idea is that whatever, if there's Tom in the, or enough Tom in the walls of the pot, that can impact the flavor of the food. Now, one of the questions always is, you know, we know that at a certain point the tom is ineffectual because there's more than 50 times. You know, the truth is, that relates to the discussion. We'll try and get to some of it. Right, no question. We'll get to a little bit. We're not, you know, can't learn. Yeah. Okay, let's see. So, again, but conceptually, the idea is that there's flavor absorbed in the walls of a pot, okay? And when the flavor comes out, it impacts the food. Tom Kiker, and it's like you're eating that food itself. Okay, it has to be some flavor. Okay, we'll see. Now the Gemara goes on, and I think the Gemara goes on to say that there are other possible sources for Tom Kiker. One is, because the Kiva learned something else from that, the Pasuk by the Noses, where did he learn it from? That's another thing, right? The Gemara says, Yalavi Basur Chalav. We learn it out, the Kiva uses it with something else, we learn from Basur Chalav, because after all, what's Basur Chalav? The whole idea of Basur Chalav, what this would mean? Is it the flavor? The meat has the dairy flavor. The milk has the meat flavor. Is that the whole thing? Tom Kiker, that's supposed to be cholov. So you want to say? Say what? Yeah, right. That's my coach. Yeah. But anyway, so we learned, so according to this source, we learn from Basel the cholov. Mark says, I'll say outside again. It's talking about Dalabe. Why do the other Rabbanim want to learn from Basel the cholov? The answer is, Basel the cholov is a chiddush. Basel the cholov is a strange animal. In what way? The Gemara says, at first they said, well, because basar chol is a strange type of mixture, because each individual thing is mutter. Basar is kosher. Look, we have black kosher meat, the best hashgach in the world, chol of Yisrael, kosher according to everybody, you mix them together. No good, that's strange. Now, usually, tarobis means you have something awesome and something mutter got mixed in. Here, both things are mutter, but the conglomerate becomes awesome. That's the chiddush. So you can't learn it from basar chol. Then the Gemara says, well, that's not why it's a chiddush. We have that by something else. It might have that by shot. I have wool, I have linen. So by themselves, I can wear a wool suit, I can wear a linen suit. You put them together, I can't wear it. So it's not just a kiddush. And the Gemara says, no, the kiddush by Bas Lachov is something else. The kiddush by Bas Lachov is that it's only a problem if it's cooked, the doraisa. because the Torah's expression is also vashel to me. The only problem there is vishel also Torah. But on a Torah level, I took a piece of meat and I soaked it in a bowl of milk all day. Sat there all day. I took it out and rinsed it off. I can eat the meat. Okay, no problem. The basal call is a weird bowl. It's cooked together, then it's also. So that's why basal call is because they don't learn from basal call. Then I go and propose another suggestion because that they learn it out from Giulei Nachrim, from this parasha with Midian. Why would you have to kasher it? It must be because they had non-kosher stuff, and they didn't want to learn from Giulei Nachrim because isn't it no same Tam Lefkam? What's no same Tam Lefkam mean? The idea that a flavor is can negatively impact something is only true if the flavor contributes something positive to the end result. But let's say you have a pot that's 50 years old or whatever, 83 weeks old, or actually more than 24 hours old. Okay, whatever flavor is in there is considered ready to be rancid, considered ready to be a negative flavor. So there, whatever comes out of the pot is not going to enhance the flavor of the new pot. It's going to ruin it. That's called no sin common God. Okay, anyway, these are all different sources of where we learn out, why some want to learn it, why some didn't want to learn it. Okay, it's only if it's edible, that's the puzzle. We'll skip the rash down because it's late. But look in Dvarim, Perikadal, Pasuk Kaval, and Parshas Rei, Lo Sofa, Kol Mevela, right?
Like cast iron skillet, you're told to clean it.
Right,
you're supposed to be cooking without cleaning it.
Right, that's why you just have to clean off the rest or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but that's not halacha. So I just pointed out the pasuk we're learning from is that you have losoch kol nevela like gera shemizrecha tishmela. You can give, you have non kosher and give it to a goy. Right, you can give it to a goy. He doesn't have to keep the laws of basar or its harvest. The answer is that's proof that has to be edible. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to give it. Okay. Anyway, Kalarula Ger, the Gemara says in Avodazor, bottom of the page, 12, Kalarula Ger, Nevela, top of the next page, Samachetanach, Shainarula Ger, Ainar Kri Nevela Rashi, explain Shri Tzricha, right? So, no, Tatal Gab is not a problem. Okay. As a side point, let's skip a look because it's getting late, but to take a look at the 14, the Fiduciary Law, Avodazor, Samachetanach, Beis, was bothered by what the problem was with the Klei Midyan. It's an interesting question because the Klei Midyan Lechora didn't just cook in it. They took it over. So it was almost in Tam Lefkam. All the pots and pans they brought back from the booty was presumably, I don't know, he says, well, maybe some people did cook that day, whatever. You have to have a discussion about it. In that regard, we don't have time to look at it right now. Okay. There is a further machlokas I want to bring, make you aware of it with a Tom Kiker, this concept, the Dorais of the Rabbanah. Okay, Rashim Sochem and Hamad Aleph, we have to look at the last line of 15. Tom Olam Moshe the Rabbanah. He said, Tom Kiker, the concept of the Rabbanon. Many were shown, and perhaps, and others disagree. Okay, Tosus disagrees. Sochem and Hamad Aleph to us from the Shmatin. He says, what about all the sources? We learn from Nazir, we learn from Basel Chol, we learn from Klei Midyan, and so on and so forth. Those are all Asmachtas, those are all Remes, but it's not real Dindo, right? That's how Rashi seems to. Tosus disagrees. He says, no, these are Lava Asmachti. It's all learned out. It's a real Din, Tom Kiker, the Raisa. But they show, seven your days from Sarichez, but whatever it is, there is a concept called Tom Kiker. Fine. Okay, so that's the basis of the problem here, Tom Kiker. Okay. You have a pot or pots and pans that were used by these non-Jews, and the flavor that was absorbed in it now can come out, and that's considered to be like eating these things. Okay. Is there a mitzvah to do agolas kelim? Actually, the second mitzvah cotton is in the side of the smock in 18, mitzvah kuf tarichet, that counts as one of the tayag mitzvahs. Lehagil kelim. Get to do agolas kelim. And he quotes the pasuk, and I said, because the Torah, Shiyom, Reish, tell everybody you should go there. I'm posted. Okay. Rabbeinu Manoach, in his commentary on the Rambam, because Chomet Shemat, the Parakel, the Chomet, the Yisrael, it's in Kasha. Why don't we make a bracha? You know, talking about tefillos kelim. We go to the mikveh, we make a bracha of tefillos kelim, right? The sign of the mitzvah, make a bracha. Saka when you look kashin kelim, make a bracha. All I go is a mitzvah. Why don't I make a bracha? So he says, "Im Torah Ma'ay Lo Bracha La Mitzvah Agolas Kelim Bracha." Shami Lo Pisul Mishum Daha Esher Bekeinu Chadash. All I go is Sagir. But what else says? You don't have to do Agolas Kelim. You buy a new one. There's no mitzvah to do it. You want your pot traced up, or you want to get Pesach, then you buy new stuff. There's no mitzvah. If you want a kashin, this clean. So this you have to do. That requires, huh? But really. We will go by Jew, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a question. The Shechita of the Tazer is that question. But anyway, that's a minimum of. Take place, we have to Arif Shard Munches, Oskuv Dalam 20, says, Umash Mavarchan, Apilo HaGola, Hainam Mishum Dishpilo, He Mitz Tasei, VaHaGola Mitz Tafos Tasei. That gives a different answer. You like it better. He says, HaGola, fundamentally, it's not a mitzvah. there's a law. You're not allowed to eat food which was cooked in a Goyish pot. You're not allowed to use a pot that had a cooked non-Jewish food, non-kosher food. Hagola is a way to get out. Basically, you're circumventing. It's not a mitzvah. You're circumventing or you're avoiding an iser. That's the thing. I make a bracha. Right? There's no asay to kasher kelim. The purpose of kasher kelim is to prevent you from violating an iser. That's why there's no bracha. That's exactly fine.
What, anyway, what are you
talking about? But basically, that's what we're saying. Yeah, I think so. You're avoiding this. Okay, anyway. The Mishnah says in about Azor, Ayin Hamer Beis 21, Alokeach Kritashmish. If you another time I'll talk more about brachas, but that's the answer to the Yisrael. You're right. It's a very difficult rule. I mean, the Rashba already has to why? How can we know we don't make a mitzvah on brach on stocking? We don't know what to do. We don't make a brach on bikur chol. So you have to figure out each time. Anyway, so those are the answers that I still hear. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah says 21. I and Haim and Beis, very end of Avodah Zarah. Alokeach Kritashmish of the Bechomim. There's a Mishnah formulating what we saw already in Rashi in our parasha. If you buy utensils, Magoi, Eshadarko, Hatzl, Yatil, if you can just, it's just used, through cold water, just put a cold water, Lahagil, if it's a hot water, Yatil, Lulabin Ba'or, directly exposed to the fire, then Yulabin Ba'or, and he says, Hashpud Ba'asakla, Akala, Malad Ba'or, the spit and the grill, you do by fire. Sakin, that's a different thing. Sakin, you have Shofa, who you kind of like, take an abrasive material, but that's for a different discussion. I just put it in a mission, but not for our discussion with the knives tonight. And Rashi explains it, okay? Certain things don't need anything because it's never used, only used too cold. See, that's the rod with that water. Lahagil says Rashi, important. I am a basil. Lahagil means b'mayim roskin, in bubbling water, and 212 degrees, right? Bubbling water, boiling water. Okay, that's how you use certain pots and pans, he says. Okay, and lavin b'or is some sort of a directly exposed to the fire. They said that's called with a blowtorch and things along those lines. Fine. Then the Gemara adds, Ayin Hamid Beis 23, that kulon tzrichin tzvila bar b'loin saw. But in any case, then you take the mix. In other words, it's a separate thing. I put that in because we learned that from Paul Paschal's perspective. It says, Ach meinida yischata, meinida is an expression for a mikveh. That's besides. That's got nothing to do with the purging the flavor. That's one of the mentions over there. The Rambam brings it to halacha. Hilchos macholos asur is par gizan with a gimel. Halokeach hitash mesur min akum mikli matches uklei zchuchis whether metal or glass. Dorm shalom nishtav mem kol ikra madmilam in my mikra. Well, you got to take in the mikra. It's not used. Only never cooked. It's just used in cold. Then you got to just take for the mikra. V'acharkech yu mutorin lecho b'hem listos. You can use it, can drink and eat with those utensils.
You still have to bring it to the mikvah.
It was from a guy. You got from a guy, yeah.
I burned it like crazy.
Doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. One thing is nothing to the other. Who did it? Dwarf shnishtaz and I, they don't go kosos and stuff with the ketonios. Madich and Madil. In the tour, same. You wash it all. Fine. Dwarf shnishtaz and I, they chanin. The things which you use to work. You don't yoros, pots, the kumkumus, the kettles, and other types of stuff like that. So then, magilan, you do a go. Then again, Matvilan, bring it to the mikvah in mutar. Udvarm shisham shalai deha or. Okay, and it's direct from the fire, then malavnan b'or. He says, how shirkli posam, the outer layer kind of almost peels off because of the fire. Then matvilan and take the mikvah in mutar. Okay. So the rule number one we saw was the famous expression of Tom Peter. Here we're introduced to a second rule, which Rashi already alluded to. So Warm Sachal Lamar Bay is 26. Arab Hunabre de Vashur, what's going on here? Why is it that it matters how it's cooked? Because eighth part of my Gilbertson tradition, Kosovar kibolo kach polto. That's the famous phrase, kibolo, the way it absorbed the flavor, kach polto. That's how it expels the flavor. Okay, that's the key word, kibolo kach polto. Rashi there says sochal amar beis. Rashi says kibolo kach polto, kibolo mitol kulishon kach polto mitkulishon. The same way. What now? And that's what the word hagola actually means. Hagola gil. Sometimes it's precious called. Gule klemidion, gule klemidion, gimel ayin, not gule like gimel alamid, but gimel ayin, purging. That's a pasuk in the Chumash, earlier in the Chumash, in Parsha the Chukos, Tavayikra, Parakavah, Pasuk Yadala, but Asati Mishkinu 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 Sigal Nafshi Esem. I won't expel, I won't find you disgusting and so on. Rashi says, there in the Chukos, in source 29, Ein Ruchi Tatuhem, Kol Geila, Lashon Pleitas, Dabar Habalua, Bedabar Achen. The word Geula, Geila, rather, Not Gal Yisrael with Aleph, but with Ayin, means Pleitas Dover Hapalua, expelling or expunging something which was absorbed into something else. That's what the word means. That's what's called Hag'olat Kalim. That's the expression. Now, How exactly does it work? What happens? You put it in the bubble of the water. So what exactly happens? Okay, good. I have a pot or a tray fork or whatever it is. I put it, what is it? Focus. Well, what happens now when it goes into the bubble of the water? And I'm down here, right? Erev Pesach usually, I think. Most shuls have it. Many shuls have it. So you come in, you bring your stuff, your kiddush cups, whatever, you put them in the bottle, and bingo, you can use it on Pesach. Well, what happens? Okay, so the Sefer Kobo during Memchaz, back in Uncle's Pesach 30, right?
The two different opinions. Different
than the same thing. The Talmud, same thing. The Talmud Hargol, Yesh Omer, Lefisha Koach Haristicha, Mafli Toma Shabo Hakli. The power, the force of the water, and I don't know what scientifically, but the bubbling water, the heat, the intense heat of that bubbling water pulls out whatever flavor was inside the pot or the fork or the kiddush cup, whatever else. That's how it works. It's not magic. You put this kli, this vessel, which had the typhus or whatever, clam, lobster, shrimp, whatever was in there, okay, pork, and you put it in the bubbling water, the color, the power, the intensity of the heat pulls the flavor out, back out of the pot or whatever it is that you're dipping into the boiling water. That's one opinion. They showed that it worked. The Yesh Omer. Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that question. We'll get to what happened to the water. The Yesh Omer. Shamayim is a different approach. Shamayim Haros and Kamo Eish Shesore. No, the bubbling hot water, not that it pulls it out. It's so hot, it destroys whatever's in the wall of the pot. It's like it burns it. It's like a fire. It burns it up. The water is so hot that the 212 is the highest, it's bubbling, means it's about 15, right? That's the highest it is in the status of water. So it's going to creep into the walls of the pot. It's just going to, disintegrate. The flame will disintegrate. I'm miming for us to be clean. So, it'll simply destroy whatever is disintegrate, whatever's in there. That's the second opinion. So one opinion that pulls it out, okay? And the second opinion is it goes in and simply destroys the heat of that water, just destroys it. So your question, what happens to water, according to the second view, is not a question. The second view, because it destroys it. There's nothing left. Okay? And he says, and therefore, if you hold the second view, the Kolba right, therefore, when you got to leave the vessel, and you can't just put it in the water and leave it and pour it right out. And it's got to get in there. It doesn't fail. You got to leave it in for X amount, according to this view. You have to leave it for X amount of time. That's the Kolba. Similarly,
If the train, that's true.
Yeah, they have to do it for 3 hours too. That's what it looks like. The next source is the 31 Orchis Chaim, often quotes from the Kolbos, and Hilchos Chometz U'Matzah, Os Tzadi Hei, also quotes these two opinions, saying two opinions that how does Hagadah work? Either pulls it out or it simply destroys, simply disintegrates. Two different things. Okay, and he adds at the end, by the way, Tom Lama Ein Mivarch Hagadah Kishar Mitzvah Absolutely Simply Kelim Chadash. Because you always get new stuff. He gave that, and it's fine. The Me'iri and Avodah Zarah, the Beit HaLechim, Avodah Zarah, that I involve in Amin Al, the first page of Avodah Zarah, the Rav Masim Mekom, Mekom Yeroyli, says, the Chayin Litzas Neforshim Ra'isha Shatam HaGolah Shamayim Rosen Sorfen HaChomet Zabaluot. Because it's about Chomet. So the boiling and bubbling water destroys the Chomet. Okay, like fire in an oven. Okay. But he said, I don't think that's right. Okay. Because the phrase Kabbalah Kachpoto, Kabbalah kachpoto means, in and out, right. That here it's not going, nothing's coming out. Right? The bubbling water is going in, it's simply destroying whatever crosses its path. So he said the expression Kabbalah kachpoto implies, the other way, that the Miri prefers that point of view. Okay? And that seems to be the majority. The way Hagolah works is that it pulls it out. The Sefer HaManhig, Nichos Pesach, Oz Vav, writes, Ki'ulei goy mechomo kompletas kishas reklam, vizel v'kun, quotes the Pesach, and so on, the Pshuto Shomikra means, it's pulling something out. That's what the word means. The word gul, as we saw before, that root gimel ayin lamed means to pull something out. Okay. And the prima godim, Arachaim, the mystical zosim, and top nun beis dalid. The prima godim writes, that's something called libun kal. We'll equate that hagala right now. We'll have the details right now. Libun kal, he says, hagala mikomakom ein sorif bifnim kiim maflit. It doesn't burn, and that's the prima godim point as well. Now,
In terms of in Stav, where you're
doing it,
it has a question in Olam Mosar.
Right.
So there, it's literally your disintegrating, because otherwise it's still left.
Right.
So that would really scale to the sheet so that it's...
No, but
you're getting rid of all the
You're still getting rid of it also, right? You just pull it out. No, we'll get that part. No, but that would be a problem here, too. We're going to get that. We'll get to that. Now,
and
the...
And that's not a ben yomo.
That's you're avoiding that. Yeah, because also you want to get it done before. Now, anyway, the Rosh Hashem Parak Beis from Zion 35 writes, the Zohar, Shalyanuchu Hamayim, and also very important. This whole trick with Hagolah only works with bubbling water. And therefore, the Zohar, Shalyanuchu Hamayim, and also don't let it cool down. Shalyanuchu Hamayim, and also Lahangu and Kaelin. You can't do it. And that's what's not, I'll tell you when that's relevant. Okay? Sometimes people come, and you put in like five or six things at once, so the metal will cool it off. You got to leave it in. You got to stop bubbling because the cool. So that's why, you know, that usually the person supervising there. Here's Marvin Oppenheim, right? Usually supervising years ago. But the point is that if you put the pot in, it's going to cool it off. And, or you put in like a lot of forks, it'll cool it. So you got to be careful. That's what the Rosh says. And the Shulchan Aruch brings it. Yeah, you can leave it in. Now, the Shulchan Aruch writes in our Chaim Sin Tov Nun Beis of the space of Aleph. He talks about Yeshua Hazil Adil Torah Shachashra Hamish Erev Pesach. You have to catch it before the fifth hour. Otherwise, you have to worry about other problems, which are another Pesach issues. And the Mechaber seems to write, if you do it before the fifth hour, third line, Chain Kadesh Lizar Lizar Shalduchal Maim Risichosa. You don't have to worry about it remaining bubbling. Ramo writes, Achrab Mchokin. No, it's not true. Zain Hagol, well, it's cool, they made a Maim Rosin. Not true. You have to have it bubbling. And therefore, no matter what you do, it has to be bubbling. The Mishnah Berurah explains, again, this is our Heimson Tuffman base. The Mishnah Berurah writes, it's a part involved that misunderstood the Mechaber didn't mean that. Acharim was Sigal Ramo. The Gam Das and Mechaber Kenu. The Ein Hagolam Elas of Rishon Shamayim Rosin. He meant something else about the ruling account, whatever he meant, but everybody agrees that the water's got to be bubbling. And if not, and the Mishnah Berurah is cut down, even though it's Yatzalet, it's still too hot to touch. That's much cool. Yatzalet can be, I don't know, a different opinion, but it can be 110, 120. This is 212. It's a tremendous difference. Almost double, right? I mean, 212 is a tremendous difference. Even if it's 212, it's a toss to Yatzalet. But okay. And then the Shabu writes in Kotan Ches, he says, you have to be careful. And the points I mentioned, and you have to make sure that Achiyalo Amayim Abubu, Abubu, the bubble, has to be bubbling. And so on. That's why he writes at the end, the Kosu Achronim, the Nochon Lahamid Eitzel Hagola, Baal Torah Haboki, the Dina Hagola. It's a good idea to have somebody there who knows the dinamo. Now, I said, don't try this at home. Okay? Now, something you can do, I'm not saying you can't do at home, but usually when there's a lot of things going on, you have to get the court. A Baal Hagola, not a Baal Hagola. A Baal Hagola is a wagon driver, but a Baal Hagola. But a Baal Hagola, you have to have someone who knows, knows what he's doing. Now, that's the story with Hagola. Okay? As far as Libun is concerned, okay? So now the Sefer Yisrael at the Aruch Shardin and Ches Osiyotes distinguishes an important chilek between Libun and Hagola. And he mentioned that we'll get to the distinction in a second. Libun is no water at all. It's directly with fire. Float
right.
Pot.
But
put it directly on
fire.
Pot,
does that be what? It's a metal pot. I got water. I cook whatever I cook in there.
Yeah.
So do we have, in other words, is it Hagola or is it Libun?
No, if it's done to water, it's Hagola.
But the vegetables,
let's say, you put it in the soup. You put in vegetables, actually, it's cooked the water. The flavor comes out of the vegetables into the broth. Make the soup, right?
Yeah, but that's comes out of the metal, too, the tray.
That's okay, no. If that's anything to water.
Because the water prevents the tray coming out of the metal pot.
What do you mean, when?
Let's say I have a pot. It's a tray pot. Okay,
yeah.
Now if I don't burn that pot or use Libum, I'm just going
to
do it.
Oh, you're asking how to kosher the pot itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the pot itself, so that you can put it into a bigger pot, kosher. What if you have the huge pot that the caterers have?
Right,
they have
yeah.
a big pot that can't put it in anything.
But
no pot bigger.
You could
use Libun. You could use Libun. The problem
Libun always works.
Probably ruin the pot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So what they do with a big pot is you can fill it up with highest water and let it overflow. But how do you overflow? Put something in it that will make it overflow blood. But there's something in it. It's got to be hotter than the water. That's with a brick. You all heard the, you have
heat
a hot brick. Heat up a stone, exactly. That's hotter than 212. And you put it in, and right. And then it'll come over. Others put something cooler in. What spills over may be less than two, maybe less than bubbling. So you got to put that. That's a kosher the pot. Okay. Now, anyway, but he says, he also says that he mentioned a distinction, which we want to go into now. That Libun ain't chilek ben benyomo shein a benyomo. We're going to come to explain what that means in a second. What happens with Libun? Hagolah yad machlokas. We said most of the time Most assume the Hagolah means that it brings it out, not that it burns. What about Liban? So the sacredness of Eretz Ha'aretz seems to say Liban also brings something out. Okay? Because the Pole called Dover and Ophel Ha'aretz. However, that is not the majority view with regards to Liban. Okay? The Sefer Maracha is the Ruah and the Chilis. Okay? At the Son of the Ozerua, Chilis Maracha is the Chaim Ozerua. Simon Mem Gimel, quotes from his father, Lashem Abamari Zatal. My father wrote this in his template. It's not a Zeruah. Or Magil Sakhs Rosen. O Kol Kli, so on and so forth. So Kulo Labin Al Hagil. Okay, you have to do the whole thing. You can't just put part of it in. Even though, let's say, I assume that maybe only part of it, because let's say if I cut something non-kosher, a little piece of knife, you got to still kosher the whole knife. So you can't. There's no.
You
know,
the handle and the pot.
Right, everything's got to go in. Okay, now. The so that's what Orzua writes because he says this. Okay, he says depending upon what you're going to see the chiluk in a second. Okay, he says if only part of the kli pots, you don't have to kasha part of the kli, but if the whole kli, then you do the whole thing because again kabbalah kapolta, but. Putting all together, and I'm going quickly because I want to cover. But let's see. If you look in the Bedek Habayis on the Parsha Bayis Rashba, Bayis Dal Shav Dal, he says the following. He says, "Avo Libum." Let's the end of the first line. B'shum Makom Eino Maflit Kol Isa Shabo Ela Kilu. Libum is not bringing the flavor out. That's our goal. Is Libum is destruction. The fire destroys. Kilu eliminates. Shumechala Iser Shabatolkum. Okay, that's how it works. And he says like this, it comes out a funny chumra in the world. If it's Hagola, says the Bedek Habayis, if it's Hagola, and the Taz, Nyardeus and Kufchof Aleph, Sukhot Zayin, and the Shachdeus and Kufchof Aleph, Sukhot Yud Zayin, both quote this Bedek Habayis Aleph. He says, if you're dealing with Hagola, okay, so then you all, and you talk Kabbalah Kachpolto, so you only have to worry about the portion of the utensil that was Bolea. So you don't have to put the whole thing in necessarily. Because you know, of course, you have to know that it didn't happen. I can't always tell, but let's say there's some way to know, okay, theoretically. So then, kibola kafoto. But when it comes to libun, if the thing was used through fire, good. I put the trace piece right over here on this part of the metal pan. But cham mikfoto cham kul, the metal conducts, right? So the whole, even though the trace was only one little small area, but it's conducted the heat of the since remember we're talking about on the fire. Then you got to burn out an apple. So that's the chilek that Bedek Habayis points out. He says it's lo dailo labin akdei also mikvah shnistamish po viser. If you shein halivu maflit lo, because livu is not expelling anything. I'm a mechala. Ukshem mechala akdei also mikvah lo dailo bekat. Shechziyovo istamish vehefi if lo iso akdei also mikvah. Okay, because again, it's the whole thing became hot. So that's the point of the Bedek Habayis making. The Taz brings the halof, and so does the shach. So that's an important distinction. Okay.
How long does a fire have to be in contact with?
So it really don't have to touch it for one moment, but you got to do the whole thing. You got to make sure to cover the whole thing. The water just needs for a moment because it pulls
just
it out.
Just a moment also.
Yeah, it pulls it out. That's what you assume.
So
you're
the same
question.
The Liban.
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. Now, what does Liban exactly mean?
It wouldn't need to go into fire all
at once, right?
At once.
Right,
that
wouldn't
be good.
Yeah, as long as the entire thing was covered, yeah. What is Liban? How hot does that have to be? I mean, okay, how hot? Liban is too fire. How hot? So the word love on Liban is white hot. Right, literally. The Gemara says that there ain't love but Aleph. I'd come to Lebanon. I'm refining. I should usher three possible. That'll be so hot that the outer layer gets knocked out, gets destroyed. The outer layer gets destroyed. That's the idea. The outer layer gets destroyed. So whatever flavor is absorbed got destroyed with it. Yerushalmi, in the very end of Odozar, the last line of Masechet Odozar, Yerushalmi, Parakei Aloha as well, but Halibun, Tzarkshu, Mitzotzos, Menatzin, Menatzin. Sparks have to flow. That's how hot it is. You put it on the metal and sparks have to flow. That's a blowtorch, right? The sparks have to flow. Okay, that's what the Yerushalmi says, and the, we want to point out, it's not a chokas, same thing. The same temperature. Sefer Yisrael had to Aruch, Shar, Nunches, Oskhov, Halibun, Bliyas, Yisrael, Achet, Tzarkshu, Mitzotzos, Oh, Arju, Mitzotzos, Menatzin, Menatzin. Either way. Like in the Rambam said that, you know, there's the outer layer comes out. He says, the Primogodim writes in Orchaim, which is Ozoshim and Tofnun Beis, you caught Nidalev, the section called Dine, the same Agalot Tzor, he says, Libun or Mulva called, Libun works the best, that does for everything, that takes care of everything. That's one shear. It's one amount. There's no.
Okay. Now,
yes, so put it a fire. Put a fire. I guess, or hold it. I guess, yeah.
Now burning.
So, yes. Okay. Now, that's what we would. That's what it says the Shofar as well. Or Chaim Sing Tuf Nun Aleph Sif Dalit. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch holds Pesach, right? Caleb Shmistam Shemayu there, or Kion Shpudim Vaskalos against it. That great, everything else. Because we're in Tzicha Libun. Now Libun Ahu Achin Totos Nitzasim there. He quoted about the spark. Okay, and Rabbi is a cooler. Even if it's not that hot, but if we put a piece of straw, it'll burn right away. It's a little bit cooler. He said some say that's enough. Okay, but Benogin Gesori Shona. That's not the widespread view. Okay, the Mishabura says that. That's the. Some people are making especially by chometz, because it was happy to begin with that went in, the chometz got absorbed. There was an ulcer, as opposed to non-kosher fire. It was originally mutter. Whether that's true or terrible or not, that's a broader subject, but yes, there's a difference. Now, the minchas yitzchak is an interesting tshuva, because this is a problem when you have an oven, okay? You have an oven Baruch Hashem, self-cleaning oven, best, because that's limun. Gets about 900 degrees, the self-cleaning oven. That's all it is. So what does self-cleaning oven do with Libum? Okay? It destroys it. That's exactly, in fact, sometimes you see ashes or whatever. That's exactly what it does. That's what Libum does. Self-cleaning oven is a perfect example of the Libum. They would put it probably in a kiln or whatever it was, some kind of thing in the self-cleaning oven, there could be sparks, I guess. You touch it, But anyway, it gets very, very hot. So self-cleaning ovens are great. But what did you do if you didn't have a self-cleaning oven? In the olden days, no one had a self-cleaning oven, no such thing. You had an oven where the highest was, 550, I think? That was high. So what did we all grow up? So how did you cash it after Pesach or whatever else? So one way to do it was a blowtorch. That has its own inherent dangers, okay? You're sticking your head in the oven with a blowtorch on it. No, not everybody would like to do that. So, but people did it, right?
Turn the oven on.
Right, one second. Other people bought Pesach inserts. Minchas Yitzchak, discusses the following, and this is a Hipaskin and a Balvechi out like that. That no, based on Kibolo Kachpolto, he said that applies. Again, we said that Libun, according to some, is also pulling it out, right? We said Libun is also pulling it out, like this, and we have to say. So the maximum flavor that could have gotten into this oven, let's say Hummus, or was it you bought a house from non Jews that had an oven. Not a non-cleaning oven. And now they use it for tarfus. Okay? The maximum they ever had that oven on was at 550, because that's the size it goes. So you could turn it on to 550, kibola kakpolta. However, the flavor got in, that's how it's going to get out. It'll get out that way too. Why not? The same as it said, Bahagola. Right? You don't need a blowtorch. Just turn it on to the highest temperature that it is. Leave it on for, however long you cook it, that temperature. An hour, I don't know how long you cook it, 550, right? Leave it on. So that's what the Minchas Yitzchak told on this Chulachem Gimelson, son of Rav. And he says, Rav proposes to him, and he thinks that it's right. Okay? Others disagree.
You would need a liner.
You would need a blowtorch. Okay, just turn it on. When I grew up here in Teaneck, that's how the Rabbanim said that. There was a cool from the Rav Salavei Chaim. I'm saying again, Minchas Yitzchak said, I think Amar Kotler said it. Others disagree. I think Moshe Feinstein didn't like it. Okay? Others say no, because Libun is not the same as Agol. Libun is not Kabbalah Kapoto. Libun is destroying, so at 550, it's not going to destroy it. Mine under the self-cleaning oven will. A blowtorch will. A kiln will. So that's
not what you destroy it. What is destroying
it? I'm saying you eliminate, not destroy it from edibility. There's nothing left. It's gone. It's disintegrated.
No, wait. You
disintegrated. I don't think so. You have to test it.
You never
says destroy.
Right, but the the origin of Kibbalah, I have to look again. It's the same Kibbalah Kapoto, but I go to the same by Libun, I'm not positive. The Gemara had it in Sochim, and again, that's another area could be the Pesach was lenient because it was a parabola. It's a good question, I'm not sure. But that's interesting.
It
was a different type because it's different, more intense, I mean. Well, there's a cue in the top. Right, and he's more intense because of the way it's shaped.
Yeah.
How do you crash your tunnel? Yeah, it's a gold. Oh, I can't crash your gold, but the metal tunnel has the same shape.
But
metal ones, yeah.
the man, the Kira.
Yeah, the Kira and Tama. The things that
they're
going to be
here. So tell me that, please.
Yeah, right. Right.
So they couldn't use that Tama on Tesla.
Right.
What if they Tama that they got from the young?
I don't know. Okay, let me finish up. I want to go to one last set of the of dinim. Again, these are all complicated dinim. I'm not, I'm just trying to give an overview. There's an interesting point based on this difference in Liber and Hagola, okay, which we alluded to a moment ago. And this was a question that's involving you when you asked the question before. Let's talk about Liber. The Liber is good. The Liber we assume destroys, okay? But Hagola doesn't destroy. Hagola pulls it out. So I have a simple question. How does it help? I put the kiddush cup, the tray fork, whatever in the thing, so now it pulls it out. Good. Doesn't go right back in? It goes right back in.
Right.
One go to the other, right? One's out. It's going to absorb. Exactly. So what's going on here? Why doesn't it go back in to this, and it's like the bleel will say, I'll be right back. I'll go out right now, come right back in. So what's going on? So some say, the Ritva, well, the Ritva, not quite, but the Ritva, and there are a number of answers that there, about a half dozen answers, but the Ritva that's printed here in Chulin, Kuf Chesman Bey, Zirmas Lagagon, Shanofa Leoros Achaz, okay, Rabbeinu Agadol, that means Ramban, Pirish Lahatir is known as Kimutu Lahagel Kelim Gadol Mitoch Arshain Maim Shishim, the Chain Ara Atzma Gino, so you can do it. Why? He says, Shekainu Kochon Shomayim Shemaflitin Isser, Fein Mavlino Soto Hakli. It pulls it out, but doesn't work. Why? Because with the flavor that comes out has been weakened by the heat. It goes back in, but it's ineffectual, right? This flavor has been through a lot.
It won't be able to absorb the same.
It's not strong enough, right? It's not strong enough. The flavor has been weakened. What happened to this tray flavor? First it went into the fork, and now I put the fork in the boiling hot water, pulled it out. That's where it goes back in. After a while, the flip, electricity can be conducted, but after a while, it's not the same potency later on, down the road. So that's what the Ramban says. There were four quotes on Ramban. Hura kochum od. The hamayim matishin kochum. The water weakens it to the point that enoch hazez and rosh lukhlisu dovakot. Fine. That's what he says. However, the rosh bo, there in chulim kukhesu beiz. The Rashba and Chulin Kuf Chesam Beis Zimach was so. He asked the Kasher, I don't want to finish up. The Rashba says, no, it's a problem. He doesn't many Rishonim don't accept this from Bar. It makes eminent sense. The two things have to be in place. The water has to be, we have a rule that flavor is Batel B'Shishim, right? They have 60-to-1 ratio. So the water, you have to make sure there's enough water that's 60 times the flavor. That's how it works. So water, the flavor is pulled out, and now the sheet, whatever's left, is ineffectual. It's halach. Maybe it wasn't really destroyed, but it's halachically destroyed. Halachically inconsequential. Huh? Before Pesach it is. On Pesach it's not. That's why it's before Pesach. One second. So that's one thing that I suppose I'm saying outside. So you have to, but that's an important point. When you do agolas kelim, according to this, you have to make sure you can't, let's say I have one little fork that has to be kashrut. I can't do it in a tiny pot necessarily. It has to be a pot that has shishim. Number two, he says, was mentioned before, you have to make sure, and it's what they always tell you, that the kli is eno ben yomo. So whatever Tom is, anyway, knows some Tom of scum, so there's kool is there. So that's what they tell you, they're right. They tell you, that's what they tell you. When you kashi came with a Pesach, make sure you use it 24 hours. When you kashi a stainless steel sink, by pouring hot water of it, don't use it in 24 hours. That's the idea, because then whatever flavor is also in Tom of scum, then it won't go back in. Boiling. I don't know because the I'm not sure what's the flavor. Let me just go to the last page because now we've come to what's more nogei halacha l'maisa. Just to finish up. I'm trying to finish up quickly. Till now we've been talking about based on our sedra about iser, right? It was pork. It was whatever the Midianites ate. Right? What about pasul chol? Because most of us, let's be honest nowadays, don't have that many problems with proper in the kitchen. That's an actual tray food. By mistake or whatever. But, you always have a question. As a rabbi, you don't usually get too many questions. Someone had tray food that got mixed up in the pot. That's right. But, we're not conquering the Midian now. We're not getting it. Nobody's today buying used kalim anyway from Goyim. But it comes up all the time. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, because Yom Tov of all places, Aruch Haim is in a tough kuf test. So if, hey, Mutar l'labin biyontif, al yontif yolada kasher, kli barzel, a metal vessel, she'ofu wo pladun shel grina, some type of cheese cook or whatever, I call it cheese food. You can be malabin on yontif, the achar libin, about an aside, let me mention the right point. With libin, like I said before, with hagol, I say two things, you have to have shishim, you have to wait 24 hours. But with libin, you don't have to wait 24 hours. If you're kashering through libin, it destroys it, so you don't wait 24 hours, you can wait 10 minutes. And that's what it says here in the Shohar. You can use it later and cook pastito shabosa, a meat pie, on the same thing. Now, that's what Shohar says. Fine. So the Mohar Ram, huh? What? Yes. But no, but even between Bosa, right. That's right. No, between Levan and Angola. Levan doesn't wait 24 hours. So here, right? Because Levan.
Right, but I think also Bosa Mustafa, you have to wait 24 hours. You don't have.
But not by. What you do for Angola, I think you do. But anyway, but
the whole thing with the food stamp, with the OUV.
Now that's what's cooked. That's the Basel Chol question. I'm not sure. Right, let me just finish up because, like, the Mogen Avrom, on that scene, the top cook test, according to Yudalev, says as follows. We can mash on the third line, unbelievable. Shemutter b'chol, lahagil klechol, lechol bo'bos, b'chol. Guess what? According to this, you don't need two sets of dishes. You don't need two sets of dishes. Now, one of them. And just kasher it every time you have beer, you kasher it. Okay? Mm-hmm. But, right, because you just said you can kasher yontif on a weekday, whatever you have, but kasher it. You have little children. I'm home alone, my children are out, but my wife and I, so we have two forks and a knife and a plate. Each night I'll kasher it and finish, it'll save us money. So it says the Mar Roma, I'm not going to eat some of those. Why? He says, because in the stomach, you're going to get mixed up. Right? And if I have, did I have fleshing last night? Was it last night fleshing night? Spaghetti night? What are we up to here? So we end up forgetting, and you won't kosher it. You think, I had milk. In 9 days, you won't have a problem. You know, last night I had milk. But the Mogen Avrom says, practically speaking, you won't remember it. Tonight, the flesh you want, tonight, the milk you want. But that's why we don't do it. That's his explanation. The Shara Melech on the Ramah, because you have the Paragrawah Chafet, quotes the Mogen Avrom, he says, a different reason, near. Because he's afraid you won't wait. You're afraid if you do Hagolah, you got to wait 24 hours. Right? For Liban, you don't. But for Hagolah, you got to wait 24 hours. So I think to myself, I forgot. Last night I came home late. We didn't have supper until 9 o'clock. Tonight I'm home early. I'm having supper at 7:30. And I'll cash you. I didn't realize it wasn't 24 hours yet. Basically, the Mogen Avrom, the Shara Melech, saying we don't do it because it's just going to lead to mistakes. Baruch HaShulchan, Nerodeus, and Peites a few times. Says that's very nice, but the Gemara never made that. We don't usually make up our own gzeiros. Okay, that's what he writes. He says, "In level leagues or gzeiros midateno." I mean, Lemay said it's correct. That is the minute we don't do it. But the Aruch Hashem was a little puzzled. He says we don't do it, but the Gemara knew how to say the gzeiros, right? The Chazal never made such a gzeiros. But okay, so how can right? How can we? What do you have to do if you have a milk thing you want to kosher at the place you go back? Well, can you switch? Well, our mom says we don't do it. You'll mix up. You use the wrong one. He says, "Olam Noah Ginisim Adam." Whatever Olam he knew, there in the Poland. But, I don't know. But the Prima Gavin says, "Well, if you want to do it, he has an answer for you." I don't know if he's trying to sit at home either. 56. Orachaim Neish Avram in the tough cook test Yigdala. Lehagel we lost the cholov. Noah Gin Lehatrik Mikodes. Trape it up. Go because now you can kasher it for the tapers. Then you can switch. You're kashering anyway. You go ahead and you buy some non kosher. Go to the Acme, buy non kosher. I'm not suggesting anybody here do this. Can you imagine? We'll go, the rabbi will go to the store, buy all this non kosher. Oh, I'm just going to trade off my kalim so I can kosher it.
Why
don't you become trade? Yeah, it's not a Friday.
Right, exactly. That's
because. I don't know, but the point is, because Lemaisel, once you've done it, it's done. You can't now say, well, I can't do it. You want to, we don't do it, but once you did it, so now you can switch. That's the switch. The Sam Sofer, right. That's all. The Sam Sofer writes in his Truly Ordation Kufiyut a different age. Some people do this also. Once you're doing it for Pesach, then you can also switch. Forget about tracing it up. But when they have here, in this shul, many shuls, the koshering night, a couple nights before Yontif, and then you can switch. So you have a set of silverware that you've been using for. Because again, and the point is, the Chassam Sofer says, because it's like it'll be a hecker, you'll realize, you'll know, you won't forget. You already went through the process. I didn't answer your question. You went through this process, you won't forget. It's like it'll be like a reminder. You won't stop. You're not going to do it every night. Okay, you're not going to do it every Pesach time. You're not going to pray for it up every night. That's ridiculous. Once in a long while, you'll remember. So that's what the Sun Sofer says. We'll pay the Marsham, and it's true to the last word. Caleb Bates from the Reish Mem Aleph has a different eighth also. He says you can kasher it from Milchigs to Parv. Okay? And then later from Parv to Fleishig. He also says somehow that'll be a bigger hecker. So there are ways around this issue. As a general, we don't kasher from Milchigs to Fleishig. We can kasher for Pesach anyway. So then apparently the concern, and again, you put this together with the Aruch HaShulchan, let's remember there was no such gzeira d'rabbanan here. This was, so therefore there are a few reasons to be makel. Okay. Huh? You'll kasher now, you use it for all, the worst place, and you'll put it in the thing, and now it'll be neutral.
I'm having a par today. I just had to make a note, the guy comes off it.
Right. See, but now it's neutral, but you kasher, it will become par, and then use it for the next one.
So you didn't cut.